You're listening to the Footglish podcast. Love football, learn English. Was the referee right to send Declan Rice off in the Arsenal-Brighton game for gently kicking the ball away? Which two teams haven't dropped any points yet this season? Did Haaland win the Hero of the Week again after scoring another hat-trick? And what does the phrase year in and year out mean? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Footglish podcast, your go-to English learning podcast about football. And today we are talking about the Premier League again, and we will be discussing round three or game week three. And for that, I have got here with me Nrup again. Welcome back, Nrup. How are you?
I'm all right here. Yeah. It's okay.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Are you still in India?
I am, yeah.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, do Indian people love watching football and the Premier League?
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge fan base. In fact, I would say the older generation, there are lots of, you know, Man United fans, and there's a huge fan base. Yeah, it's crazy. Lots of Chelsea fans.
They can't be too happy these days.
It's true, but it is what it is. You know, they are still staying strong, and you know they watch the games very religiously. And
yeah.
Although I must say that football is still not the best or the most popular sport in India, but there is a huge fan base.
Let me guess: the most popular sport is cricket.
It is, yeah.
Yep. Okay. Well, this is not the Footglish podcast. This is the Footglish podcast. So we are here to talk about football. Well,
sorry. Wrong location. I'll just leave. See you guys.
No, you can stay. You can stay, of course. Okay. I know you are a football fan and you have a lot of insight. And that's what we need here. First of all, I'm going to go through the results of this round quickly, Nrup. Yeah. And I'm going to ask you as well if you think that any of these results are a surprise. Okay. So on Sunday, no, sorry, we should start with Saturday, right? Saturday before Sunday, I think. So Arsenal Brighton, that was actually the first game. It was an early kickoff, as we say, 1-1. So I'm sure we will talk about this one because, as we know, you are an Arsenal fan and so am I. So 1-1, Arsenal Brighton. Then Brentford Southampton 3-1. Everton, Bournemouth 2-3, Ipswich, Fulham 1-1, Leicester, Aston Villa 1-2, Nottingham Forest, Wolves 1-1, West Ham, Manchester City 1-3, and then Sunday's games, Chelsea, Crystal Palace 1-1, Newcastle, Spurs 2-1, and then finally Man United, Liverpool 0-3. Nrup, which of these results surprises you?
I would go with, let's say, starting with Saturday. Mm-hmm. I would go with Arsenal Brighton. Then I would go with Ipswich Fulham. And yeah, that's it. And when it comes to Sunday, I would go for Chelsea and Crystal Palace. And United versus Liverpool.
Okay. So that's interesting. Yeah. United versus Liverpool. Before we get into the Arsenal game, because that's the main sort of main thing on the agenda here today, why does the result of Man United surprise you, Nrup? Because in my opinion, in the last few years, hasn't it always been like that? Didn't Liverpool always play really well at Old Trafford?
They did, but well, Liverpool, they have a new manager, and I was just not expecting such five-star performance. I mean, even the players, they were not really satisfied with the result. They were like, yeah, we were expecting 6-0, 5-0 easily. And it just showed, like, you know,
who was United, expecting 6-0? Sorry, I'm not getting it.
Van Dijk and Mohamed Salah. They said that after the game, that we were really expecting much more goals. And yeah, it was a quote to quote. So I was really shocked.
That's shocking, right? Because yeah, Manchester United, home game, one of the best teams historically in the entire history of Premier League. And how can they be in a position like that? How can they be struggling so much? Because it seems like this is happening year in, year out.
I think it's the players, because I would say Arsenal have been in such situation. It feels familiar. So to me, it looks like it's the players. There needs to be a massive overhaul. And okay, you can see like the contracts of the current players and their wages. And it just, I don't think it's worth it. And yeah.
Okay, well, do you think that the issue is the manager, Erik ten Hag? Because some fans are not really happy with him either.
It could be, but I don't think it's completely on him, because even the new owner, if I'm not wrong, the Ratcliffe, is that his surname?
I'm not sure. Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that, yeah. So even he said that we would need at least 3-4 transfer windows to actually create a competitive sport. And I think last year Ten Hag was saying that we shouldn't be with the current squad, with the current situation of Manchester United, we shouldn't be aiming for a title, for the Premier League title, and you know we should take things step by step. So I believe that they are going in a decent direction if you look at how he's handling some players. But yeah, well, at the end of the day, you have to provide results. So yeah,
you do. And if you are a Manchester United fan, unfortunately, because of what they have experienced, the years of winning trophies under Alex Ferguson, these fans, they are not going to take this lightly, these results, and they remember these victories, and they need it back.
Old Trafford is a very strong hold, so it's really embarrassing for a team with 13 titles losing comfortably for past, I don't know, 5-6 years to a team that has won one title. So, you know, it says a lot. Like, there's a heritage from both sides. And exactly. It looks like a one-sided game for the past 6 years.
Yeah, and 3-0.
It doesn't say much, but it's enough.
It says a lot, in my opinion, actually.
I mean, I'm talking about the result. Like, it could have been more, but yeah, 3-0. Yeah.
I mean, they can't be happy there. Even Gary Neville, the famous pundit or reporter, journalist, Sky Sports journalist, he's not happy either. He always blames it on the owners, actually, you know, whenever he speaks.
Right, interesting. I mean, even we had a phase where we were blaming the Crowing Keys for not spending enough, and, you know, how Wenger, he was managing a positive transfer window after so many years of having such players, and we used to be the number four team. But now being a number four team itself is a heritage of its own.
It's an achievement these days, right? Yeah, Manchester United, they will struggle with these results. But, well, we gradually started talking about Arsenal here. So, 1-1. I think the result doesn't tell the story, though. I think it's all going to be about that one incident, right? So what exactly happened there? So basically, we are talking about a second yellow card for Declan Rice. I think this is the turning point in the game. No doubt about that. Before that, we were controlling the game, right? 1-0. Who scored our first goal? Can you remind
Kai me? Havertz.
Kai Havertz. Saka assist. So
it was a beautiful goal.
It was great. Absolutely great. Those two are really working well together. They have a great partnership. But Noop, what did you make of that incident? And can you actually explain to the listeners of the Food Grish podcast what happened there? Because it was bizarre.
It was bizarre. So it happened, I think, somewhere between 55th or 60th minute. Yeah, what happened was Rice, he was already cautioned in the first half. He already received a yellow card, and somewhere on the left flank, there was supposed to be a free kick, but for a free kick, the ball has to be stationed somewhere. And it was a moving ball. So apparently, the referee thought that Rice was intervening the incident. And
Well, what happened was exactly that he was so he made a foul, right?
It looks like he made a foul.
And the game was stopped. Yeah. It was not a yellow card incident or anything like that.
Not at all.
It was a foul, right? I think. It looked like a foul. And he was walking away from the ball slowly. And as he was walking away, he slightly kicked the ball from
which wasn't in his vision, but the ball was but the ball was moving. The thing was, the ball was moving.
It was moving slowly. I agree with you. It wasn't stationed, which is,
exactly,
it seems quite important for that incident. Yeah, I agree with you.
It should be the first point.
But also, it was kind of in his way. So, although it did look like he knew what he was doing, and the issue is that, like, we see this all the time, right?
Yeah,
players
yeah.
do this all the time. It's a bit of a, what we call a shithousery, right? You just want to, you don't want. Normally, what you should do actually is just to stand in front of the ball until everybody is able to get back into their positions, you know, and be ready for whatever happens from that free kick. But instead, he slightly kicked it, and I think the ball rolled for about 1 meter, 1 meter away from that spot that he kicked it from. And also, the player, he was trying to take that free kick immediately, super quickly. And as you said, the ball was moving. Also, in doing so, he kind of kicked Rice, right? It was such a bizarre moment.
He did not touch the ball from what it looked like.
He did
not touch the ball at all. He just kicked Rice.
He was trying to kick the ball. And the reason he kicked Rice instead of the ball is actually that the Rice had kicked it away from that spot slightly.
Did,
so he couldn't really, right?
Yeah, but the way he kicked it, to me, it looked like it was deliberate. Like, I think he wanted to kick Rice just to, you know, I don't know, provoke
him. But what Rice did, let's be honest, what Rice did was also deliberate.
It was, yeah. And it's not something that is rare. It's not something that is often criticized. It's honestly just ignored normally. Under normal playing conditions, doesn't matter who,
matter
the player. Or the team is.
It seemed so.
Doesn't
innocent,
matter the competition.
Right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter the competition. Even on the highest stage of the competition, be it UCL final or FIFA World Cup, people still do that.
Yeah, but it was just usually it's something bigger than that. It was just so innocent, you know.
It wasn't.
And the referee. What did the referee do then?
Yeah, he did something that was apparently not, and that was just give him a yellow card. Just
yeah,
like that.
Because
and
like that makes it two first yellow cards. First of all, Rice was kind of rolling on the floor because it looked like it wasn't nice that he got kicked at that moment. So everybody thought, oh, what's going to happen? Is he going to get a yellow, the Brighton player? I don't know who it was anymore. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Is he going to get a yellow or what's going to happen there? Or is the referee just trying to calm down everyone, you know, before this set piece is taken? And to everyone's surprise, he showed the second yellow card to Declan Rice. And we're talking about, when was this? 60th minute or something?
Something like that. 55th or 60th minute.
Yeah, it's quite early. Quite early.
Quite
Declan
early,
Rice,
so
a super important player.
Rice. Exactly.
Right. And I think it was also his first red card
ever
in career.
In senior football?
Yeah.
He has never had a red card.
Exactly.
Yeah, such an important player to go away. We were one man down against Brighton, which is a team that always hurts the top teams.
Exactly.
It was a huge loss.
He couldn't believe it, Rice, right?
Yeah.
He couldn't believe it.
Nobody could believe it. Like
not even Brighton players.
Yeah, I'm sure, 100%. And it was just embarrassing, shocking. And the thing is, like, at one point, I'm just numb because, like, you know, referees and referee decisions in Arsenal, I mean, you know, it's like we are each other's protagonist and antagonist of each other. So we are like an actual enemy.
But we can't sort of get hung up on this because then we get this label. Oh, you Arsenal fans, you're always crying. Because unfortunately, this is what we always do. When I don't like this, Noob, because whenever there's a referee problem, Arteta always speaks about it. This is my issue with what happened. I absolutely hate it. I think it was insensitive from the referee. We can talk about the letter of the law. Maybe they have changed some rules that now they don't tolerate this shithousery. And I think these were instructions. That's why he did it. I don't think the referee did it because there's any malice, there's any animosity against Arsenal. I think these guys are professionals. I think he was under the instructions to, stop players from doing these things and to caution them immediately, to show yellow cards for things like that. So he stuck to the letter of the law. My issue with that is, it's just he was not using common sense, because yes, there is the letter of the law, but if we always stick to the letter of the law, there is no football. But I just pinch you or I slightly touch you and it's a foul. Did you know what I mean? Like, you also have to use common sense when you're refereeing a football game. And this was, I'm sure he regrets this now, this referee, because, and there's another thing, and that's what Arteta was pointing to. He said, and Declan Rice as well, that basically there have been more incidents like that in the game, and it was Brighton who kicked the ball away, and I think João Pedro more than this. Yeah, this seemed just so innocent, and the fact that he was on a yellow card as well. I mean, it's just incredibly stupid decision from the referee, in my opinion.
I agree with you on most segments. Regarding the part where, you know, we have been labeled as victims of referee, I think it's true. Like, you know, the facts speak for itself, and we have the data, we have the clips. And I think I would say they are partially to be blamed for us to at least be in the hand for us to lose the title last season. Because I remember those games where we lost points because of referee decision.
I know.
And it is a huge factor. Because referees, they are the so-called demigods of the game, and they play a huge factor. And it's not just Arsenal. Like, there are many other teams that also suffer from it. Liverpool, another example. I mean, there was a time where
Wolves.
Liverpool used to be called...
Wolves, right? Exactly.
Yeah, but at the same time, there used to be a time where Liverpool used to be called Liverpool. Maybe, I don't know why. Maybe there was some other reason.
Liverpool. I mean, yeah, but yeah. Manrup, my point is, listen to me, my point is, this is the wrong mentality. Or the wrong mindset. If you always blame the referees for whatever happens to you, you are putting yourself in a position of victim. And I think it's always an unhealthy habit to victimize yourself, because then you are not focusing on improving yourself, on making progress. This is my point. I think this is distracting us from progressing. I think it's a rule of thumb in life anyway. That's my point, and I agree with you, this was completely unfair. Nrup, we have 3 minutes, because then I have to teach a lesson. Let's do our hero of the week and villain of the week. So let's start with the hero of the week. Who is it for you?
For me, it would be Erling Haaland for his hat-trick against West Ham. I mean, it was just heroic. Like, this guy, he just cannot stop.
Do you know what?
Effort.
Hat-trick. Another hat-trick. Two back-to-back hat-tricks.
Yeah.
And incredible. He's a monster. And I'm thinking of renaming this segment into Haaland of the Week.
Yeah, I was
instead
thinking
of Hero
that.
Of the Week. To be honest, it also starts with age, so not much will change.
He is. Yeah, I mean, he was really fantastic. And
shout
out to Luis Diaz, I mean, for his performance.
Do you know what his dream is?
What is his dream?
He once said that his dream is to score 4 goals with 4 touches. Because sometimes people say, Haaland is not that good. He doesn't even touch the ball much in the game. How does he impact the game? He scores goals. And then to that, he responded, my dream is to score 4 goals with 4 touches.
That's lovely. I mean,
he's class,
I mean, honestly, like, such answers are not really to be encouraged, but I really like how he really answers everybody's criticism with his work.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's good.
Okay.
That's my hero.
Okay, to be honest, I was going to say Haaland too, and my second choice would be Luis Diaz for scoring 2 goals against Manchester United. Very nice goals as well. He seems to be playing really well. I regret the decision to choose Diego Jota now over him in my fantasy team. But anyway, villain of the week for you. I think we know who that's going to be.
It's going to be the usual suspect. The ref, right?
Which ref? I wonder which one.
Anyone that always harms us. Really, it's a fact.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Yeah, it has to be the referee. He really impacted the game. We forgot to say that after that, we conceded a goal. João Pedro equalized. And from that moment, from that red card, we were not the same team. And we were under the cosh. Brighton were all over us. I think we were actually quite lucky to get a draw from that game. But yeah, we have a point. Brighton are playing amazing football. We can quickly have a look. This is the last thing we will do here. We can quickly have a look at the table. Yeah. So where is that? Those of you who are watching on YouTube, you will be able to see the table now. Liverpool and Man City, the only two teams who didn't drop any points yet. They are both on 9 points. Man City have a better goal difference. That's why they are ahead. And Brighton in the third place, ahead of Arsenal. And then also Newcastle United, who don't seem to be playing well, but somehow they keep getting points. This time they beat Tottenham. And then we sixth place Brentford, then Aston Villa, Bournemouth, and Everton in the last place. Okay, it's early doors. It's early in the season, of course, but how do you see this league, Nrup, so far?
It's going great. 35 more games to go. Yep. And yeah, I mean, there's one more transfer window in the middle of the season, so looking forward to everything. I still think that we will win the league. And I'm just positive. And, progress.
Okay.
We still haven't been defeated yet, so yeah.
Okay, Nrup, thank you very much for featuring on the FootGlitch podcast again. I'm going to speak about the Fantasy League in the Language Corner section because I know this season you don't play. You're not a manager. I think you are like Jurgen Klopp. You're taking a break. Hopefully, you will be back next season with the Fantasy League. We miss you. We miss you in the league.
Cheers, man. I'll be back. Hopefully, one day. Yeah. Either for national team or club football. I don't know.
Okay, fantastic. Like Jurgen
Klopp. Cheers, anyway. Take care, man.
Take care and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Language Corner. As always, in this part of the show, I will be teaching because it is my job to teach English. That's right, I'm an English teacher. And this time, I would like to talk about the phrase year in, year out. We were talking with Nrup about Manchester United, Liverpool, and the fact that in the last few years, Liverpool have been dominating Manchester United, and that includes games at Old Trafford, right? At the Manchester United Stadium. And I just wanted to say that this keeps happening all the time. And I use this phrase, it's happening year in, year out. It's a very simple phrase, very flexible as well. You can say month in, month out, week in, week out, day in, day out, and it has a similar meaning. Basically, it means all the time. Or we could say if you use year in, year out, it's kind of on a yearly basis, like every year. If you say month in, month out, it's kind of on a monthly basis. If it's day in, day out, it's kind of like every day, right? So continuously or repeatedly over a period of years, months, weeks or days, depending on which word you use. Day in, day out, right? Like every single day, pretty much. By the way, there are similar phrases you can use if you don't want to overuse this phrase or if you don't want to stick to all the time. See what I did there? Instead, you can use the phrase over and over again, again and again, time and time again, or time after time. All these phrases pretty much mean the same thing. And yeah, by using these lexical chunks, as we call them, you will sound more natural, right? Because it is our tendency for us, the non-native speakers, to overuse certain structures because they become automatized in our language, but we don't always show how much we know. We don't always show the variety of the language in the way we could. All right, I guess that will be all that I will squeeze into this episode. Do you know what? I'll talk about my fantasy team another time. It's not necessary to always involve it into the FootGrish podcast, right? Especially if your guest doesn't play it, right? Okay, guys, that's absolutely everything for today. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll speak to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.